Welcome to Ekhatra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekhatra AI.
Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're jumping into a real cornerstone of American fiction, Dashiell Hammett's The Maltese Falcon.
Oh, absolutely. It's more than just a detective novel, isn't it? It created a genre.
It did. Hammett basically invented hard-boiled fiction. He'd spent, 8 years as a Pinkerton detective?
That's right. So he wasn't just imagining gritty realism, he lived it. He saw the cynical side of things.
And he brought that right onto the page, ditched those old-fashioned parlor mysteries for something much tougher, much more urban.
Yeah, and you can see his influence everywhere. Chandler, even Hemingway, picked up on that style.
So The Maltese Falcon, it came out in 1930, serialized just before that. And it really captures a moment, doesn't it?
Definitely. Think about the time prohibition, the city's growing like mad, morals kind of shifting all over the place, and then bam, the Great Depression hits.
Right. And Hammett's story, with all its greed and, moral compromises.
It must have really struck a chord. People pursuing something valuable only to find it, maybe hollow. That resonated.
Yeah, mirrored the disillusionment, people's anxieties about money, doing the right thing, just surviving. It's all there in Spade's world.
And that world is late 1920s San Francisco. So vivid.
Oh, yeah. You get that sense of fog everywhere, secrets just hanging in the air.
And the setup seems almost simple at first, right?
Yeah.
This beautiful woman walks in.
Miss Wonderly, she calls herself initially, hires Spade and his partner, Miles Archer.
Needs them to find her sister and this guy, Floyd Thursby. Sounds routine.
But then Archer gets shot tailing Thursby.
Yeah.
Dead.
And then Thursby himself is murdered almost right away. Suddenly, it's anything but routine.
No kidding. And Spade, he's instantly a suspect in the eyes of the police, Lieutenant Dundee especially.
Mm-hmm. Plus, there's the complication of his affair with Archer's wife, Iva. Messy.
Very messy. Hammett just throws him into this impossible spot from the get-go, makes you question Spade himself.
But it gets bigger than just local murders, doesn't it? Pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. Enter Joel Cairo. Offers Spade $5,000 for a blackbird statue.
Uh-huh. International intrigue starts creeping in.
And then the big one, Casper Gutman, the fat man, talking about this incredible treasure.
The Maltese Falcon itself, the legend.
And this, for me, is where it gets really interesting. It's not just solving the murders. It's about Spade navigating this world of lies.
Exactly. How does he maintain any kind of integrity when everyone's got an angle, everyone's lying?
He operates by his own code, doesn't he? It's not exactly conventional morality, more like pragmatic survival.
It is. And Spade himself, what a character. He's the archetype, really. Tough, smart, cynical.
Pleasantly like a blonde Satan, as Hammett describes him. Emotionally guarded.
Yeah. And the whole story tests him. His ethics, his relationships, his idea of justice.
Leading to that final difficult choice. He picks his professional code over, personal feelings.
Even though he clearly has flaws, that quote sums it up, doesn't it?
When a man's partner is killed, he's supposed to do something about it.
Right. It's not about liking Archer. It's about the principle, the
yeah.
job, an abstract duty.
And tangled up with him is Bridget O'Shaughnessy, the femme fatale.
Oh, definitely. Beautiful, smart, but utterly ruthless. She uses vulnerability like a weapon.
You see her change from this apparent victim
to this incredibly manipulative figure.
Hmm.
The mask slowly comes off.
But there's that tragic element too, right? You get the sense she might actually have real feelings for Spade.
Yeah, and that clashes so hard with who she is, what she's done. It adds depth, makes her more than just a villain.
Then there's Gutman, the main antagonist, obsessed with the Falcon.
The fat man. Cultured on the surface, but absolutely ruthless underneath. Been chasing this bird for decades.
His whole business-like approach to crime is chilling. It really does feel like a comment on capitalism, almost.
It does. People are just assets, disposable in pursuit of the prize. Very much reflects the anxieties of that era.
And Hammett fills out this world with such memorable supporting characters, too.
Definitely. You've got Joel Cairo, so nervous and elegant, representing that wider international scope.
Wow.
He shows how the Falcon corrupts everyone.
And Wilmer Cook, Gutman's young gunman.
The gunsel.
Yeah.
Hammett kind of put that word on the map. Wilmer's this dangerous kid trying to prove himself, but really just a pawn for Gutman.
The fall guy, basically.
Exactly. And then in complete contrast, you have Effie Perrine.
Spade's secretary. Loyal, decent, kind of the moral compass in the office.
She is. And her quiet disappointment in Spade at the very end, it just hits hard. It really highlights his isolation.
So these characters, their motivations, their secrets, They all start crashing together. Let's walk through how the plot unfolds.
Okay, so we start with the murders. Archer, then Thursby. Spade's immediately under suspicion from Dundee.
And the Iva-Archer affair just makes it worse for him.
Right. Then Cairo shows up, offering cash for the Blackbird. That's the first real hint. It's about more than just Thursby.
Bridget confesses her real name, admits she lied, but she's still holding back.
Oh, yeah. The tension in Spade's apartment. Spade, Bridget, Cairo, all sizing each other up, trying to manipulate the situation.
Yeah.
It's fantastic writing.
Cure psychological chess. And then Spade meets Gutman.
And Gutman lays out the whole history of the Falcon. This priceless jeweled bird, a tribute from the Knights of Malta, lost for centuries.
Gutman's been after it for 17 years. That's obsession.
It is. And somewhere in here, Spade tells Bridget that strange story, the Flitcraft Parable.
Right, about the guy who walks away from his life after a near-death experience, only to what? Rebuild basically the same life somewhere else.
Exactly. It's such a bleak little story. Hammett's saying, you know, maybe life is random, maybe big events happen, but we're creatures of habit. We just fall back into patterns.
Kind of strips away any idea of free will, almost. Very dark for the time.
Definitely. And then the plot kicks into high gear. Captain Jacoby stumbles into Spade's office.
Mortally wounded, clutching this bundle wrapped in newspaper.
Drops it and dies. It's the Falcon, finally.
So Spade has it. What does he do?
He brings everyone together in his apartment. Bridget, Gutman, Cairo, Wilmer, the final confrontation.
And then he plays them off each other brilliantly, uses the bird as leverage.
He does. And they need a scapegoat for Jacoby's murder, someone to give to the police.
And Spade points the finger at Wilmer.
Coldly. And Gutman, after just a moment's hesitation, agrees. Sacrifices his own guy. Chilling.
So Gutman pays Spade the $10,000. They finally have the Falcon.
Everyone's excited. They start scratching at the black enamel. It's lead. A fake. Worthless.
Oh, man. After everything, all the lies, the murders, the obsession, for nothing.
It's a powerful moment of emptiness.
Yeah.
Gutman's reaction is telling, though. He's crushed for a second, but then...
He just vows to keep searching, right?
Yeah.
Heads off to Istanbul or somewhere.
Yep. The quest is his life. So he carries on. He and Cairo leave.
Leaving Spade with Bridget and the fake bird, but it's not over for Spade, is it?
No way. The Falcon hunt might be done, but Miles Archer's murder still needs settling.
And he turns that cold focus onto Bridget.
It's an incredible scene. He just picks apart her story piece by piece.
Lays out how she killed Archer, knowing Thursby would take the fall.
Despite her pleas, despite whatever connection they had, he explains his code.
Can't let your partner's killer go free. Bad for business, bad for his own integrity.
I won't play the sap for you. He says it flat out.
And he calls the cops, turns her in. That's the choice he makes.
It defines him, but yeah, the cost is immense.
And the ending is just bleak. Bridget's arrested. Effie looks at Spade with that silent disappointment.
And he's alone. He won, professionally speaking, but it feels like such a loss.
Okay, let's dig into some of the big themes Hammett is exploring here. That critique of American capitalism seems huge.
It really is. The Falcon itself is the ultimate symbol of wealth that corrupts absolutely.
Drives people to murder, betrayal, and then it turns out to be literally worthless.
Exactly. And Gutman treating crime like a business, people as disposable, it's a dark mirror to ruthless capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
The fake bird really underscores the illusion of easy wealth, the emptiness of just chasing money.
And then there's the moral ambiguity. Nobody's purely good or evil, especially Spade.
Right. He lies, he cheats, he works with criminals, but he has this code. Hammett seems to be saying that in this modern urban jungle, the old rules don't apply.
You have to forge your own ethics, which might look pretty rough from the outside.
Yeah. What does integrity even mean in a world like that? Spade forces you to act that.
Which leads right into the isolation of the individual. Spade's detachment keeps him safe, maybe, but very alone.
Totally. Turning in Bridget, someone he might have genuinely cared for, shows the price of his code. It's a lonely world, Hammett paints, without much community or support.
And everywhere there's the theme of deceptive appearances.
Oh, constantly. Bridget looks innocent, Gutman looks courteous, the Falcon looks priceless. Nothing is what it seems.
Surfaces don't match reality? A key warning, maybe?
Definitely. You have to look beneath the surface.
What about the gender relations? The Spade-Bridget dynamic is fascinating.
It really is. There's a power struggle there. She uses her femininity to manipulate, but there seems to be real emotion, too.
So his final act, is it just professional ethics? Or is it him asserting control?
It's complex. Hammett doesn't make Bridget just a stereotype, though. She's tragic in her own way, not simple misogyny.
And finally, justice and vengeance. The police seem kind of ineffective.
Yeah, the official system doesn't really cut it. So Spade creates his own justice. It's systematic, not personal revenge for Archer.
But it's a cold kind of justice. Comes at a huge personal cost. Not clean or comforting at all.
Not at all. Pragmatic, maybe, but definitely cold.
Let's talk about how Hammett tells this story. His style is so distinctive, that objective viewpoint.
Right, like a camera just recording what happens. We see what Spade does, hear what he says, but we rarely get inside his head.
Which makes him enigmatic. You, the reader, have to figure him out. It pulls you into that cynical world.
And the prose itself, that hard-boiled style. Short sentences, direct language, focus on action and dialogue.
Very lean, no wasted words.
None. And this symbolism of the Falcon is central. Greed, illusion, the hollowness of the quest. Even its black color suggests something dark.
The dialogue is just brilliant. So sharp, so realistic for the time. Full of slang and subtext.
It really drives the novel. Spade's clipped answers, Bridget's pleading, Gutman's elaborate speeches.
Yeah.
You learn so much just from how they talk.
And the atmosphere. San Francisco fog, rain, dark alleys, claustrophobic rooms. It's all physically and morally murky.
Perfect backdrop. We mentioned the Flitcraft parable already, the key insight into Spade's fatalism. Life is chance, but people are creatures of habit.
And the irony of the Falcon being fake is just chef's kiss. Plus, the way character is revealed purely through action and speech.
Yeah, no long internal monologues. Show, don't tell, taken to the extreme.
Let's touch on a few of those iconic quotes, that one about the partner.
When a man's partner is killed, he's supposed to do something about it.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's Spade's core logic right there. Not emotion, just the rule of the game. It justifies everything for him.
And his line to Bridget, I won't play this out for you.
That's him drawing the line. Refusing to be manipulated by sentiment. In his world, being a sap gets you killed. It's about self-preservation and maintaining his code over love.
And the very last line about the fake Falcon.
The stuff that dreams are made of. Borrowed from Shakespeare, but used so cynically here. It dismisses the object of all that violence and desire as just an illusion, a fantasy, utterly empty.
Reading the Maltese Falcon isn't exactly comforting, is it? There's no neat resolution, no clear hero.
No, it leaves you feeling unsettled. Spade wins, but he's totally alone. That moral complexity stays with you.
It's powerless because it's so unflinching about corruption, about how messy morality gets in the real world. It challenges easy answers.
It really does. With Spade, right? What's the cost of sticking to your principles, even flawed ones? It makes you question what heroism even looks like in a world like that. Maybe just surviving with your self-respect intact is enough.
That feeling of suspicion, isolation, uncertainty, it feels very modern still.
Incredibly so. It captures something enduring about navigating a complex, often treacherous world.
So ultimately, the Maltese Falcon shows us that wrestling with integrity versus temptation is often a lonely, brutal fight.
And its honest look at human nature, flaws and all, is why it still hits home today, asking us what really matters in the end.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.